What's up, everyone? Welcome back. It's not Friday. You know what? My schedule is all off. Normally, I record on Friday, but today's actually Thursday. The reason I'm not recording Friday is because I have an appointment at a tattoo shop, and that's going to kind of lay the groundwork for today's episode. It's going to be about how I prepare for tattoo sessions, especially long ones, painful ones in painful spots like your neck, your rib cage, your feet, your bony little hands, how I prepare for those the day prior, the day of, and also just give you a little bit of background about the tattoo I'm planning to get, the story, the meaning, the significance, tattoos I've gotten in the past, and we're just gonna chit chat about tats, tat chit chat. But first, the newsletter. Two new posts went up in the newsletter this week. The first is a recipe for homemade carrot bread, which maybe you've never heard of this dessert before. I call it a fusion between carrot cake and banana bread. And if you love one or you love both, I pretty much guarantee that you're going to love carrot bread. The backstory of this is that I recently got like a whole bunch of carrots because I love carrot juice. It's my favorite summer beverage to make at home. You know what? This summer, I've really been into juicing in general. Fruits that you wouldn't even traditionally consider juices, like nectarine and peaches. Like, when's the last time you heard of peach juice, nectarine juice, carrot juice? I really love making unconventional, unexpected juices here at home. And I had all these extra carrots, and then I kind of got tired of carrot juice because I drank so much of it in June that now that we're in July, I'm like, I kind of want to change things up a little bit. What the hell do I do with all these extra fucking carrots? And my grandmother, so something my grandmother instilled in me that I can never shake to this day. And it's a good thing, to be honest. I'm glad that she did. So my grandmother was born and raised in Czechoslovakia at the time before it was split into Czech Republic and Slovakia. So she grew up under communism, under Soviet rule, under the USSR. And in those times, you quite literally had to stand in line all day to get one slice of bread, one glass of milk or water or one vegetable, one motherfucking potato, right? So my grandmother would literally spend all day in line to go home with one slice of bread. And in those days, you would be crazy to ever throw food away because you never knew when you would be able to eat again. Food was so scarce and food had to be cherished and almost worshipped. So you would be like literally insane to have any leftovers or, God forbid, throw any good food in the trash. And that is something she instilled in me as a child. Whenever I, you know, revolted against eating my broccoli or my asparagus or my cauliflower, she was always like, bitch, like, you better lick that plate clean, because in my day, we would have to stand in line. You know, you are so blessed that you can just waltz into the grocery store and buy 5 different kinds of milk: almond milk, soy milk, hemp milk, cow's milk, coconut milk. Like, what the fuck? Like, you're gonna finish your plate, you know? So that's why I was like, okay, I cannot throw these carrots away because I would be doing my grandmother a disservice. So I Googled, I went on Pinterest. Pinterest is the best for finding new recipes and just finding inspiration in the kitchen. And I was like, what to do with extra carrots, or like carrot heavy recipes. And one of the first results was carrot bread. And a very similar recipe to banana bread. You know, you get some flour, some baking soda, some carrots, one banana, some cinnamon, some maple syrup, some Greek yogurt. Throw that all in a blender if you don't have a food processor. I find a blender works just as well. And then throw it in like a loaf pan and put it in the oven, 350 degrees, 45 to 50 minutes. But all the details are in the newsletter recipe. The second post I want to draw your attention to is titled, What's for Breakfast? When's dinner? And this is a personal story of how earlier this year I was struggling with what I call extreme hunger. I never got it diagnosed. I never saw a nutritionist or any kind of medical professional, but I was noticing that I was just always hungry. And at first I was like, okay, I'm working out a lot more. I'm working out for a solid hour straight, lifting really heavy dumbbells. It makes perfect sense that I would have a more intense appetite. B, I'm also on my period. And naturally, I think a lot of women experience this. We get really intense cravings around that time of the month. We're never full. We're never satiated. We crave like potato chips and chocolate and cheese and carbs and comfort food. So I was like, okay, I'm going to ride out this wave. And when I'm back on my regular birth control regimen and my hormones have kind of regulated themselves, I'll see if I'm still experiencing extreme hunger. And I was. So that was a clear message that my period wasn't the issue. My hormones weren't really the issue. I was like, I'm always hungry. And I would finish a meal. So first of all, I'm really into like fitness. I'm sure you've heard me talk about strength training. So I really have my ear to the ground when it comes to like nutrition and diet and how to build muscle and how to maintain muscle. And the word you always hear amongst coaches and trainers and nutritionists is protein, protein, protein. Like in order to grow muscles and maintain and sustain muscle growth, which is my goal, you have to be up to your neck in protein. Protein with every meal, protein with every snack, protein shakes, protein bars, like however you can sneak an extra protein, do it. And I've been following this advice. And research also says that protein is the most satiating macronutrient because it takes the longest for our body to digest. And it also releases a hormone called like ghrelin and leptin, which are responsible for that sensation of fullness and like being content with the food you just ate and like not craving anymore. But the problem was for me, I was eating these really protein heavy meals and then still feeling hungry. And that to me was so frustrating and confusing because everything I was reading online was saying like, as long as you're eating enough protein, you should not be hungry. And I was like, but I fucking am hungry. What's wrong with me? And the newsletter article will explain like what I did to reassess my nutrition and my eating habits. And it introduces a concept that I am sticking to with now and for the foreseeable future, which is called volume eating. I won't go into all the details here in the podcast. You can read everything in the newsletter, but volume eating is basically eating foods that physically take up a lot of space in your stomach. So really airy foods like popcorn and rice cakes and vegetable sticks, and really water dense foods like strawberries, bananas, watermelon, cantaloupe, and all that good stuff. So if either one of those two articles sound appealing to you, check out my newsletter on Substack. The link is in the podcast description. There's a direct link to my Substack. Okay, let's get into some tattoo chit chat. So this whole week I've been feeling pretty anxious and like mentally and physically preparing myself for the appointment that is on Friday. Tomorrow. And the reason I've been anxious is because normally when I get a tattoo and listen, like I know that a podcast is not a visual platform, but take my word for it, I am pretty covered in tats. I have tattoos on my neck, on my hands, on my arms, on my feet, on my back, on my hip, on my foot, like fucking everywhere. So I know I have a pretty good idea of the pain level associated with an upcoming tattoo. And if I get tatted on like my arms or my legs or most locations, honestly, I'm more excited than I am nervous for the session. But when it comes to my neck, and I have on the right side of my neck, I have a peony, my mom's favorite flower. I'll explain more about that later. So tomorrow I'm getting the other side of my neck, the left side. And based on my previous experience with the right side, I know just how bad it's gonna hurt. I know that I might shed a tear, although you can't like be hysterically crying in the tattoo chair because, hello, they're trying to work on you. But it's just, I know the pain that comes with a neck tattoo, and here I am doing it again, and I have found that I am not excited at all. I'm actually like really dreading it. I'm really nervous. I'm really fearful. I'm bracing myself for the worst possible impact. The one like little saving grace or silver lining is that I'm really excited to work with another female artist. Even though women are making a big, you know, name for themselves in the industry, they still are the minority. You know, most shops have mostly guys and maybe one woman, maybe just one. But what was really cool about Portland, so Portland is like a very, you know, progressive and liberal and Democrat and just very like progressive state or city, I should say. The state of Oregon, not so much, but like the city of Portland specifically, yes. So in Portland, I started to notice that female-owned and like female-operated shops were popping up where no men are in the space at all, which I thought was pretty cool. This shop here in Minneapolis has a couple of women, but still, it's true that women are still the minority even in 2022. I have worked with three female artists in the past, and coincidentally, they've all been in my neck and collarbone area. So I have my peony on the right, then surrounding my collarbones, I have two symmetrical ferns. And then on the left side is going to be the new tattoo. So all three of those pieces, oops, excuse me, I just burped. This is what happens when you podcast immediately after eating a heavy breakfast. So excuse me that I have some burps. I am really proud of the fact that my entire like neck and décolletage area has been done by women. I really enjoy working with women for reasons, for obvious and not so obvious reasons. The very obvious reason is that like I'm a woman, so naturally when I see another woman, I'm like, oh, there's just this immediate common ground and this immediate familiarity and similarities between us. And, you know, you don't have to worry about like, I don't know, I just feel more like comfortable around women. I can feel like I can be more vulnerable and open and honest with what I'm feeling. And also like with women artists, there, you don't have to worry about like looking cute for your appointment or like acting like a badass bitch. Like, oh my God. The tattoo artist that I worked with in LA, I worked with him on so many pieces. So I got to be like really comfortable and friendly around him. I didn't pick him because he was hot. Like I truly saw his work first and his face second, but this guy was so hot. And I have a feeling that in another life where, or like in another multiverse, if I was single and he was single, something would happen. Something would happen because there was like, I mean, very innocent, very playful, not like sexually charged, but like very innocent flirting going on. We always had fun. We would always blast ridiculous music in the shop. And sometimes we would take like mini dance breaks if we needed to, and we got along so well. And one time he actually like, I don't know if this was a mistake and then he had to catch himself and correct himself, but one time he invited me to go to like this comedy show with his friends, and he didn't mention that his girlfriend was gonna be there. He was just like, yeah, me and my buddies are gonna check out this comic, like, do you want to come, we have an extra ticket. And I was like, wait. Wait. If you have an extra ticket, then like, why aren't you inviting your girlfriend? Or do you just consider your girlfriend like one of your buddies? I don't know. It was a weird moment. And I was like, I had to like gently and politely be like, oh, sorry. Like I have plans with like my boyfriend. Like, why don't you go with your girlfriend to the show? Anyway, even though I loved working with him, just the fact that he was like a hot dude changed the atmosphere of going to the tattoo shop. I felt like I always was like double checking my hair and like double checking my clothes and like, do I look like stupid in this position and like look cute and like act cute. And with a female artist, like there's none of that. Just show up in fucking sweatpants and get it done. And also like, I find that women, this might be a generalization, but I think women just have a softer hand when it comes to tattooing, which means that the pain is less. You know, the more soft and gentle you are with the needle on the skin, the less it's going to hurt. So that is the one thing where I'm like, phew, okay, I'm really like, you know, nervous about this appointment, but at least the woman there is going to be chill. And, you know, I know that she's going to really look out for me and make sure that I'm comfortable, because comfort is key. Safety is key. And, you know, just being able to relax, right? Because the more stressed and pent up you are, the more your hormones are going to be raging and there's going to be cortisol involved, and that's just not enjoyable for anyone, right? So what's the tattoo you're getting, Sophie? I am getting a chickadee. A chickadee is a type of bird. What is it called? A tit? It's a version of a tit bird. Go online, Google a chickadee. They're so fucking cute. They're literally like a little cream puff ball, like a little creamsicle puff pastry. They're like this cute little chubby circle. They have this, gray wings, but then this gorgeous, like, Santa Claus white belly and a black beak and like a black top of their head. Not only are they fucking cute, that's not really why I chose a chickadee. There is a deeper story involved, and that story is, so when we moved into our house in May of 2021, one of the things that I was most excited to do was install a bird feeder. I want to be Snow White, and I want all the animals from the forest to come to my house to seek sanctuary, to breed and mate and multiply and just, you know, find a little safe haven in my suburb. I want the deer. Actually, there was a joke that I had with my husband. I was like, can we get a bird feeder to attract birds? And he was like, of course. And I was like, could we get a hummingbird feeder to attract hummingbirds? He's like, of course. And I was like, can we get a raccoon feeder to attract raccoons? My husband was like, that's the trash. You don't need any separate fucking raccoon feeder. Raccoons come for your trash, okay? If you were to leave a plastic bag on the front lawn, a raccoon would come sniff it and check it out, you know? So we installed the bird feeder, and I was blown away by the beautiful birds that I saw on a daily basis. It's one of my favorite things to do in the summer is just look out my living room window and see different kinds of species. And one of the first birds that flocked to our feeder was a chickadee. And I thought, you know, this is the first time I'm seeing a chickadee in the wild in real life. In Portland, I don't think I ever saw chickadees, or maybe I did, I just wasn't paying close enough to enough attention. Same thing in LA. I kind of have this feeling that like chickadees aren't like only a Minnesota bird. Obviously, they fly everywhere, but like, it was the first time for me seeing one so up close. And I just fell in love with this bird, and I kind of had this moment of like symbolism that like, if this is the first bird that's gonna come to my feeder, then that's a sign, and that's something to take note of. And actually, while we're chatting about chickadees, let me Google chickadee like symbolism, because every bird or every animal, every living species does symbolize something in like Native American culture. So I just typed in chickadee symbolism. Filled with energy, courage, and curiosity, these birds are a source of positivity and joy in the lives of countless people. For those that draw strength from the chickadee, they are symbolic of self-expression, insight, and the value of friendship. That's so fucking cute. Okay. So knowing that a chickadee kind of symbolizes like courage and positive energy and joy, and this is the first bird to visit my feeder, like that means something, you know? So I'm going to get a chickadee on the left side of my neck and maybe some like decorative branches and berries and leaves and just make it look, you know, really beautiful. I mentioned the other side of my neck is a peony with like red and pink and pastel colors and light green leaves. So I do really like the fact that my décolletage area is very nature centric. You got a flower with leaves, you have ferns on my collarbones, and then we have a bird with berries on the left-hand side. The reason I got a peony, there's not as much of a deep story here. I just generally like the flower. It's my favorite flower, and I was inspired by a Japanese artist, because peonies are very common in Japanese art, tattoo art, painting, etc. And I follow, I can't remember his name because it is a traditional Japanese name, and there's many syllables and many vowels, so I apologize that the name I can't remember right now, but I was following him on Instagram, and he really specializes in the peony flower. So I was inspired by his work, and then my artist kind of took that inspiration and made it her own. But what really stood out to me is that the first time my mom saw my peony tattoo in person, she's not a huge fan. Okay, that's not even it. She's not a fan of the fact that I have so many tattoos. But like at this point, I'm 30 years old. Like, what is she going to do? You know what I mean? She's just kind of learned to accept it. normally she doesn't even ask about my tattoos anymore. She doesn't really care, like, what's the story? Or, like, why did you get it? She's just like, whatever, you're going to do what you're going to do. But with the peony, she was like, oh, like, she took this, like, unexpected interest. She's like, why did you get a peony? And I was like, oh, because it's my favorite flower. And she was like, it's my favorite flower. And it may sound weird that I never knew my mom's in the past, I had never known my mom's favorite flower, but, like, I honestly didn't. And the fact that we were both sitting there, like, wait, it's my favorite flower. And she was like, no, wait, it's my favorite flower. I was like, Mom, I am your daughter. Like, what a cute little, you know, mother-daughter moment that we both love this flower, and it just so happens to be the flower that I got tattooed on me. So now we're kind of going to move into, like, the second part of the episode, which is how I prepare for tattoo sessions, ones that may exceed 3-4 hours and ones that are just in generally more painful spots. And typically spots that have a lot of bones involved or a lot of nerve endings, like your spine, oof, that sucks. Your hands are really bony. Your feet are really bony. Your neck is not bony, but it's so close to, like, your head and your brain and your skull that it almost feels like your entire head is jittering and shaking. So the first thing to prepare for a tattoo session, and my favorite thing to honestly pack, is snacks. And there are two types of snacks. The first would be like a quote-unquote healthy and nutritiously value snack, like an apple or a banana or a granola bar or a protein bar, shit like that, just in case you get hungry. Because trust me, the last thing you want to do is be laying on a tattoo table. The tattoo is painful, but also, like, your stomach is in pain because it's growling and hungry. So bring a snack just for, like, purely hunger reasons. But also I'm going to get very specific. Bring a Snickers bar. There was an article, I can't remember when or where it was published, but there was an article that said, if you are, like, a hiker and you get lost in the woods and you have to wait for a helicopter or, you know, a search and rescue team to come and find you, if you ever go on a hike, bring a Snickers bar, because the peanuts will provide protein and the chocolate will provide sugar and the caramel will provide healthy fats. So it's got all three macronutrients in one single bar, and it can, you know, ward off hunger for longer than, like, a Mars bar or a Twix bar or what other fucking candy bars are there? Like a Hershey's bar. Like, Snickers is it. Same thing with a tattoo appointment. I always bring a candy bar, because when your body is going through extreme pain, it is essentially in panic mode. And during panic mode, your blood level sugars immediately drop. Like that. Like, in the blink of an eye, all of a sudden you're cold, all of a sudden you're shaking and jittering, and you're getting almost the cold sweats, and you feel like you may pass out, and you're lightheaded, and you're disoriented, and you're dizzy. That is because your blood sugar levels have completely vanished. And to bring your blood sugar levels back up, hello, you need sugar. And that's where the Snickers bar comes into play. I would also always bring water. I mean, most tattoo shops will have water, but I remember in the peak of COVID, when we were, like, super careful about germs, I went to a tattoo appointment and I was so thirsty, and the guy was like, sorry, like, we have no community water because we're scared of community spread. And I was like, fuck, I am fucking dying. I am parched. And I just had to sit there and be very uncomfortable. So bring a water bottle with you. Also, I'm just going to state the obvious. Bring a book, bring your headphones, and charge everything. Charge your phone, charge your headphones, charge your Switch. Oh my God, that's a great idea. If you have, like, a Game Boy or a Switch or just any device that you can play games on. Because here's the thing, it's all about distraction. A tattoo is gonna fucking hurt no matter the size, no matter the location. A tattoo on your wrist is gonna hurt, and a tattoo on your fucking skull is gonna hurt. The key is finding ways to distract your brain from the pain. There's not much you can do about the actual level or intensity of the pain. It's gonna fucking hurt. But if you can just distract yourself and shift your attention into a book, a podcast, an audiobook, a Game Boy, a Switch, maybe smoke some weed or take some CBD beforehand. Like, weed is a great way to think about something else. Distraction is key. Distract yourself from the pain, because there's very little you can do to control the pain yourself, right? I also think that preparation starts the night before, not so much just the day of. I heard, and listen, like, if you have a tattooed friend in your life, or you are that tattooed person, you may hear conflicting advice. So this is just my personal opinion. I was chatting with a tattooed stranger, honestly. I was at Lowe's the other day, like the home improvement store, and there was a tattoo employee, and we were just like chit-chatting. She was helping me like pick out paint or whatever. And I had mentioned this upcoming appointment to her and how nervous I was. And she was like, oh my God, girl, you know what I do? I stay up all night the night before. That way I'm so tired the day of that I just fall asleep on the chair. And I was, you know, I was being polite, obviously. And I was like, okay, yeah, like I might try that. Of course I'm not gonna fucking try that. That's the worst fucking advice I've ever heard. I don't care how tired you are. You will never be able to just like gently pass out and snooze and fucking nap when you're getting your neck tattooed. I don't care how jet lagged or stoned you are. I will never fall asleep on the tattoo chair. And honestly, a lot of artists feel uncomfortable with that because they don't know if you have passed out from pain or if you have passed out just because you're sleepy and tired or hungover, right? So I've heard tattoo artists say, like, if someone falls asleep in my chair, I will actually stop the session and wake them up because I don't know, like, if they're okay. If you're just passed out in my chair, like, I don't know if you're okay or not. I don't even know if you're breathing, honestly. You could have just fucking died. And here I was, like, tattooing you. Here I am tattooing a dead person, right? So I would not follow the Lowe's employee's advice. I will never not get a good night's sleep before a tattoo session. I think preparation starts the night before. Get a good night's sleep. Go to bed like 30 minutes earlier. Do everything you can to prepare for a good night's rest, which means like shut your blinds, turn off your phone earlier, stop looking at the blue light, put on some background noise or like white noise to soothe yourself to sleep. And also I would eat like a really hearty dinner, and I would also eat a really hearty breakfast. Even though you're going to bring snacks, like that does not excuse the fact that you need to eat a really nutritious, sustaining, fulfilling breakfast. And if you want ideas for that kind of breakfast, that is in my Volume Eating, When's Breakfast, What's for Dinner newsletter article. There are a bunch of examples of really fulfilling and sustaining meal ideas. What else? Okay, so the day of, I would also suggest some light movement, so some light exercise, so just increase blood flow, because if you're going to be laying still on a tattoo chair for 3-4 hours, you're going to notice that your blood flow is not optimal. And when blood flow becomes stifled and trapped, you start to get cramps, pins and needles, you start to feel maybe like numb in certain areas, and then you gotta take a break and move around and stretch, and that kind of like eats up time in your session. And obviously, like, I'm a huge, you know, fan of breaks. If you need a break, fucking take a break and say so. Don't be afraid. But like, if every 15 fucking minutes you're like, oh wait, I got pins and needles, or oh wait, like my leg is falling asleep, that's gonna, you know, be annoying for you and for the artist, and you're going to probably have to pay more because you're spending more time at the shop. So I definitely suggest light movement in the morning to increase blood flow, to make yourself more flexible and nimble and stretch, and just treat your body with kindness before you put it through an excruciatingly painful experience. Comfy clothes are a fucking must. And this is also what's lovely about working with a female artist, is you don't have to look cute. You don't have to wear mascara. And guess what? Even if you do wear mascara, it's going to smudge down your face, especially if you're laying like on your stomach on the table. Like, let's say you're getting your calf tattoo or your back or something, and you're face down on the table, your makeup is going to smudge all over the place. So my advice, don't fucking wear makeup. Wear your hair in a ponytail or a bun. Get it out of your face, especially if you're getting your neck done. Like, you don't want stray hairs getting in the artist's way. Also, like, always bring an extra layer. So always bring like a hoodie or a sweater, something you can easily take on or take off without being fucking naked and exposed. Again, about, you know, blood sugar levels, when they drop, you start to feel really cold and shaky and jittery. At least I do. My body experiences such drastic temperature changes. When the first hour or two when I sit down and my adrenaline is pumping and my blood sugar levels are still, you know, even and equal, I feel really hot because I'm pumping with adrenaline and I'm pumping with energy and excitement and hype and buzz and woohoo, woohoo. So my body's hot and I find that I start to sweat. I'll get like sweaty armpits, sweaty butt crack, sweaty, you know, sweaty underboob. And then boom, blood sugar levels drop. And now I'm wet from sweat. And I'm also just cold from my blood sugar levels. And now I'm freezing. And extreme hot and extreme cold can both feel like very uncomfortable. So that's why I find anything you can easily take off, put back on, take off, put back on as your session goes on is going to make you as comfortable as possible. I think a tattoo appointment is a great opportunity to like practice direct, honest communication. If you are somebody who struggles with saying what you need, when you need it, and how you need it, a tattoo shop is a great moment to like really put that into practice because you have to be able to say, I need a bathroom break, or I'm feeling lightheaded and I need to eat my snack, or I need water, or I just need a fucking breather, okay? An artist is, listen, an artist should never, and I have never experienced this, like, an artist will never be like, oh, come on, pussy, just like toughen up and take it. I've never had that said to me. And I've been getting tattooed now for nearly 10 years, right? So I would say, like, even if you're not the type of person who's like, excuse me, raises their hand, like, I really need this, or like, I really need to like stretch my legs and go for a walk around the block. I really need fucking fresh air because I'm suffocating here. You kind of gotta step up to the plate and learn to verbalize your needs. Because if you don't, like, guess what? You may end up in a really bad situation where you could pass out from the pain or you could end up fainting. I have spoken with artists in the past who've said like, yep, I've had a client pass out and I really fucking wish that they had, you know, just said, you know, please give me 5 minutes. Or can we please just stop for the whole day? Once the outline is done, you can stop. And that actually brings me to my next point is that speaking of like honest, direct communication, when I was booking the appointment for my chickadee tattoo, and we're just at the consultation, we haven't even started yet, I said to my artist, I was like, listen, like, you can obviously see that I have my other side of the neck done. So you know that I know how much I can handle. And I'm going to tell you right now that I need 2 sessions. There's no way I can finish this chickadee in one sitting. So one session tomorrow is going to be just the outline. And then we'll wait, you know, 4 to 7 weeks for the outline to fully heal and, you know, for my body to kind of like get back to its normal happy self. And then we'll do like the color and shading and final details in the second appointment. So if you know yourself, if you are also heavily tattooed, don't be afraid to say like, hey, let's go ahead and just book 2 separate appointments because I know I can't sit for one. I guess that's it. My final point is that the thing I hate most about tattoos is not so much the session itself, even though that does suck. It's the poor sleep that follows. And especially with the neck, I am a stomach sleeper. I sleep on my tummy with my arms down by my side and I tilt my neck I mostly sleep with my neck tilted to the right, which means the left side of my neck is face down on the pillow, which is the problem because that's the part of my body I'm getting tattooed tomorrow. So I just, not only am I bracing for the appointment itself, I'm bracing for the poor, uncomfortable sleep that follows in the days that follow. But you know what? A friend of mine actually asked me this the other day. She was like, why do you keep getting tattooed? Like, if you know it's so painful? Like, what is it that keeps attracting you back to the chair? And I was like, honestly, like, the pain and discomfort is so temporary. And what's left is this, like, beautiful, personalized piece of art. And I feel like a new person when I have a new tattoo. I feel like I've achieved a new level of, like, knowing myself and loving myself. And I think tattoos are beautiful. I think it's art. I think it's a visual representation of your diary and your life and your history and your struggles and your survivals and your strengths and your, you know, your achievements. And I think that's a beautiful, I think tattoos are one of the most incredible way to celebrate your life and look back on your history and your personal goals and everything you've achieved and everything you've overcome. And yeah, it's like a visual diary, you know, and I will never not get tired of getting tattooed. So that's all from me. I won't speak to you on Friday. I'll probably check in with you guys on Monday when I'm done with my first appointment and give you a check-in and give you a little update. So have a great weekend, everybody. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.